Hello and welcome to AU to ANZ. It's episode number 14. Hello and welcome back after a 4 month break. 4 months. Amazing.
Wow.
Ronnie, you're still here?
I'm still here.
Wow.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
You haven't melted in Arizona there. It's pretty hot.
Yes, it is still quite warm, even though it is the end of September. It's supposed to be fall, but it's still 38 Celsius, 97, 98 Fahrenheit.
Yeah, we're having cold weather. It's spring. We have had some days in the 20s, but it's coolish, long sleeves. So, Rodney, are you still saying class?
I am saying class.
Okay, well, sometimes we're saying learning communities here. Sometimes. It would be great if we were saying it more than class, if we were saying learning community. What about, are you still saying AIMS?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what I'm saying, but I do say standardized tests.
Yes. And unfortunately, I'm still saying NAPLAN. Standardized tests, yes, are happening. What about, are you still saying Common Core?
Yep, Common Core.
And are they warming to that?
Well, I don't think there's a warming to it. It's here. It has to be Common Core now.
So it's right in. Okay, well, we're saying AusVals, which is the Australian Curriculum Victorian version. Because in Victoria, the Victorian government liked to put their own little spiel on it.
Yeah.
And have a version of the Australian curriculum, which each state has decided to follow. What about, you're still saying elementary?
I do say elementary.
Yeah, we still say primary in our schools, primary school. But guess what, Rodney? We're also both saying...
Learning.
Yes. So we're both still very much involved with learning, and that's our top priority.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what have you been up to in all this time? You've had all sorts of things, like summer breaks.
4 months. 4 months have gone by. Let's see. Well, our last podcast was back in May. So since then, school's been out. June, we had Digital Learning Day for my district.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. Also in June, went to Flagstaff, Arizona, and I did a series for the Native Innovation Educational Technology Conference in Flagstaff.
Yeah.
I had two sessions, Android apps and Chrome extensions. And that was really good. I had two sessions of that, and then also another class for classroom management strategies. So that was a lot of fun. Worked with the Native Americans up there. A lot of fun. And then at the end of June and July, I flew over to where another 20,000 educators and presenters and sponsors went to ISTE.
Mm.
So renewed some connections, made some new connections with people, new folks to follow on social media, as well as have a lot more resources and some visited some more places in Atlanta. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. And while you are having your ISTE, obviously busy with Slide to Learn in Sydney this year.
So that really?
Was, that was great fun, and we managed to steal Tony Vincent away from the US. So he was here in Sydney with us at Slide to Learn. We had a great learning time. So that was lots of fun. It's a hands-on sessions with all sorts of things happening, like Lego and art and all sorts of things that you do with your hands, but then using our iDevices to share and amplify what you're getting from the learning you're doing.
Yeah, that is a lot of fun. Well, I did a similar session in July for a week called Camp Plug and Play down in Tucson.
Oh, yeah.
And the session that I dealt with was social media. So my specific project was integrating digital technology into the regular classroom. And that was quite interesting. I took some resources that I've been compiling and created a chart in which teachers could access it, and if they're doing a particular project, they could find a session that dealt with one of those resources, and then they could go to it, get a lesson plan or a resource or some additional ideas for activities to teach digital citizenship.
Have you got a web link on that?
I do have a web link. I will share that in the show notes.
Right. That sounds very interesting. Yeah, well, I've been to some different professional developments to do with digital technology, because next year we're having digital technologies in our curriculum, which is different to ICT. ICT is more information and communication technologies with your publishing and Word and email and spreadsheets and all that sort of thing. Digital technologies is really specifically coding and programming. Algorithms and all that sort of thing, computational thinking. So it's a new subject coming into our curriculum that is specifically for that. And it's no wishy-washy thing. It's, you know, I've had little prep ones writing code.
Wow.
So it's been lots of fun. Now the kids love it. So yes. I've been to some professional developments about that and been doing some writing some units and things, which is all top secret because it's not released yet, so don't tell anybody.
Okay.
And I've also been to some workshops with Gary Stager, which is through our new pedagogies work that we're doing on the global project, the new pedagogies for deeper learning.
Okay.
So that was fun. Went to a great 3-day workshop, and basically you got to try out all the different sorts of things that you could do, whether you're using Arduinos or Makey Makeys or the We Do Lego or the e-crafts, which was great fun. Have you done any e-crafts?
You know what? I have not.
It's all to do with circuits and LEDs, those little lights like you have on Christmas trees. And sewing them on material with metal thread, a thread that's really? got metal so it conducts and sends your circuit around. And you sew them on and make bracelets or headbands or armbands or bags with sparkling things on and get the circuits going and put it all together and have lights. And you can have switches and all sorts of things on them. So lots of fun.
That sounds a lot of fun.
And you know, we did some logo as well. You can't forget logo. It's always really great to do. And that all sort of falls in line with this Digitech as well. So there was a lot of programming, a bit like Scratch used.
Yes, I have used Scratch.
So the programming that's used for Arduino is very Scratch-like. And so the WeDo Lego uses Scratch. So once you've done those, then you can actually connect things to your computer and be programming them from your computer and have them doing things. And connects up sensors and things to the things you make. And then you write a program, and when I clap, my thing I've made out of cardboard and bulbs and lights and things flashes and moves around. So lots of fun. Lots of fun. So that's kept me very busy, all those things. And as well as having a bit of a stint of acting principal for 4 weeks at one stage. So busy times, and now we're up to this podcast and what we're going to be doing in the next month or so.
Right now we have a project going on, and we have some ACES transformers that we're using to work with teachers, with a teacher in her special ed class. Mm-hmm. She's using it to actually work with the students to use a program called WordQ and SpeakQ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially... It can be assistive technology, but the WordQ is you can type the word and it will automatically populate it, but it will also type it for you. The SpeakQ will go in, and after you've typed something, it will read it to you.
Mm.
So, but the other really cool feature is that you could use a microphone and you could talk and it will type it for you.
Mm.
It's in cooperation with the speech recognition program.
Yep.
So it's something that a lot of our kids really do need help with.
Yeah.
And then, so what I've done is I've taken some time to play with it, and, you know, I wrote an essay for someone and I had it read it back to me. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful. Mm. So the next part that I'll be working on is training the teachers.
Yep.
The teachers, yeah. As well as the students and how to use the program.
Yeah, because We just do that on the Mac and have it read back things to us. And it's funny he's talking about this because just today, here with my friend Lois, and she was writing out some applications and things, and she was sitting here with her headphones, and I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Oh, I'm just getting it to read it back to me so I can listen to it and see if it sounds all right." I thought, "Oh, that's a great idea. I hadn't thought of doing that." Yeah.
So you said you're doing it on the Mac?
Yeah, you just get your Mac just reads your text quite easily. The iPad will do the same. You just select the text you want and select speak, and it just reads it to you.
Is there a particular program it does that inside of?
It just does it in most things.
All right. So I'm not as device agnostic as I thought I was. I did not know that.
Yeah, your iPad does it too. Your phone will do it as well. So it's a really good feature that's very underused though. So it's good to get some use of it in any form, and then people might find out, well, gee, I've got it on this as well, and then want to use it from that. So it's good.
So is that found under accessibilities?
On your phone?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's called speech, turn speech on.
Ah, okay.
Did you find it?
No, because I have an Android.
Oh, okay. What about on your iPad? It's on your iPad as well.
I don't have an iPad.
Oh, okay. You had one, you gave it back.
Yes, I did have to give it back.
I'm just checking to see. It's under accessibility. And it's under accessibility, and it's speech selection, and you just turn it on.
Okay.
And you can also have it so that it will highlight the word it's saying, so you can see it going along as well. Yeah.
All right. We'll make sure that we have these. We'll make sure that we have the tutorial and the notes for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, that's good that you're looking into that, because I think it's a really great service for people who are perhaps struggling sometimes with literacy, but also it's just really good for, like my friend who was using it as a check on what she'd written, because they can read it pretty good now, so it sounds like you want it to be read, not like a robot, you know, reading it horribly. It really helps you with your punctuation though as well.
Yes, it does. Yeah, that's one of the things that I realized too, is that it was really easy to start to read, and it was just really great.
Yeah, well, Lois was saying she was getting the kids in her class just to go and do it, and they were listening to theirs as well and hearing where they needed to change their punctuation. So that's really good, and it really makes them aware that punctuation is like the movie director. And the punctuation makes people stop at different places, and that's what it's all about, rather than, oh, it's a full stop for the end of the sentence. Yeah, so that's great. Well, one thing I did forget to mention was how we've been really involved in our Chinese exchange program at my school.
Okay.
And we've been working with 14 other schools and for about 2 or 3 years, and we've been having Chinese students come over from China to our school. They usually send over about 55 students, so we would get 2 or 3 students at each school. Maybe some schools might have 4 or 5. And they come for 8 weeks and homestay with different families at our schools. And this year has been the first year that we've been able to send some of our students to China. So my school sent 4 students over and 1 teacher. But our students go to China for 8 days. And these are grade 5 students. Yeah, so they're grade 5 students that go.
Wow.
And we learn Chinese as our language other than here. In my school, Chinese is the second language we're learning. So we have Chinese teachers come and do specialist lessons with them for Chinese. And, they've been over there and had a great overseas learning experience, is what we call it. And been able to Skype back to school while they're over there. We were lucky enough to be able to schedule some Skype sessions in. Going to China for us is really great because it's only like 2 hours behind in time. So it's easy to fit into the day.
That's really easy.
Yes. But, you know, their eyes were so opened by going to China. They went to Shanghai and different places around there, and went and visited our sister schools because we have a sister school there. and went and had calligraphy lessons and different things like that. So it was very different for them. And they came back and could talk about it and did presentations. And I made a blog for the whole Team China group that you can actually go on and see all the adventures they had while I was traveling overseas. It's at teamchina.global2.vic.edu.au, but we'll put that in the show notes and people can have a look at it.
Wow, absolutely.
Yeah, it's only a couple of weeks and we have our next crew from China coming over. Our students will come and visit us again. So they come in the fourth in our last term, because we're in our last term of the year, and stay for nearly the whole term, because our term's 10 weeks, and they come and stay at our school for 8 weeks.
Wow.
And it's, they're learning English. Their main aim on coming out here is to learn, get their English better, because it's a huge priority for them to learn English. It's compulsory at schools for them to all learn, to learn English. And then their parents would really like them to come over here for a whole year. But eight weeks is what they're allowed. And in that time, you know, they really become quite fluent at their English.
Okay.
And they also have their own schoolwork going along, though, because they're very studious. And it usually takes us a couple of weeks to get them to relax a bit and be more like the Australians. Because they would want to go home and just do more homework.
Yeah. Are they grade five or are they high schoolers?
They're grade fives.
They're grade fives also. Wow.
Yes, they're grade fives, yeah.
8 weeks.
Yeah, 8 weeks. It's a long time.
Now, does someone come with them?
They do have teachers come with them, yes. They have, they would have probably 10 teachers come over here with them. Because our students have one teacher to four students go when ours go. So we would have about 20 teachers went over with our students, which is probably more than that actually, all told. Mm. With our 55 students, we had about 20 teachers go.
Oh, wow.
Mm. So it's a big program because we have a big emphasis on Asia in education, and not as a separate subject but more as integrated across the curriculum, learning about Asia because we almost are a part of Asia here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure if you came to Australia and when you land and come off at the airports, you would see the Asian influence. At Melbourne Airport, for instance, you know, a lot of things are in Chinese and English as well, that sort of thing. Hmm.
So my question would be, I have a question. My question is, what about the Asian influence in your curriculum or your pedagogy?
Right, well, if we were doing sustainability or something, we would be looking at what would be happening in Asia for that topic.
Okay.
If we're doing counting, we'd be doing some counting in Chinese and we're doing some counting in English.
Okay.
If we were talking about foods or something, we'd be looking at our food and we'd be looking at Asian foods.
Okay.
If we're doing customs and all that sort of thing, we'd be comparing the different cultures.
Would you use some of the methodologies and strategies from those cultures to do math?
They do have a very interesting way of multiplying numbers, I think, don't they? We have actually looked at that.
And how has some of the teachers and students related to that? Have they found it to be easier to use that,
Methods? I think they've looked at it more as a novelty and thought, oh, that's interesting. That's interesting, but gone back to their own ways. I think that's what's happened. Yeah. So the kids love it. They love it. And, of course, the kids that went on the trip were – well, over the moon about it all, and as they would be, their eyes really wide open and seeing the whole world and getting a different perspective on the world. And it's really great when you've got someone in the country for us to Skype as a school and see our children there, and our kids would relate to it, whereas when you're just Skyping to someone in another country, it's just those people. It really brings a connection. And the kids are much more focused on it and, you know, they'll be checking the blog and seeing what's being posted and where they are and asking them questions on the blog and things like that. So it was great. So that's going to happen.
That would be pretty neat.
Yeah. And then what's happening next for you, Rodney?
Well, the next thing on my chart, my calendar that I can see thus far,
yeah,
is going to be a Miami Device in November.
Yeah, Miami Device in November. It's not many weeks away.
No, actually, it's in 44 days.
44 days, isn't it? Oh.
44 days.
Oh, you,
44 days. It's coming up pretty quick.
It is. November the 6th to the 7th, the two-day conference.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'll be getting in on November 5th.
Right. And it's at a school in Miami. St.
Yep.
Stephen's, isn't it?
St. Stephen's Episcopal Day School.
Yes. Yes. With Felix Giacomino there.
Uh-huh.
And the range of speakers and keynotes. You know, your two keynotes. You've got Tony Vincent and...
Kevin Honeycutt.
Yes. So I'm sure we'll hear a song or two, do you think?
I think so, too.
Yeah, he'll probably sing something, some one of his great songs. I always loved that one he did about his Not on the Test. Remember that one? That was good. That was so good. I think that was having a bit of a going around when I first came over.
Yeah, it did.
Remember we did the tour of the schools and it was in testing week? It was like I really got a look of the future. It was like this is what's coming to us as well. So, speakers at the conference, there are some wonderful speakers like Aaron Klein and Todd
Nesloney.
Yep. Brad Wade, he's from the Two Guys, he does the Two Guys podcast.
Uh-huh. Tanya Averett.
Yeah. And Wes Fryer, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. And Jeremy McDonald.
Oh, yeah. Mr. McDonaldy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that I haven't met before.
Yeah.
Have you looked at the lineup as far as sessions are concerned? I'm like picking stuff. Oh, that sounds good. Ooh, that sounds good. And then I'm noticing that a lot of them are in the same time schedules.
Oh. Hey, so, I hear there's going to be some robots going to sessions, and you can actually send a robot to the session to watch it for you.
What?
And not be at the conference. Do you know that? Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they've got some robots of some sort that go to the session and you watch the session.
Oh, yes, that's right. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah?
That's going to be something else.
That will be exciting. That will be different, won't it?
Yes, it will.
I'm really interested in robots at the moment. I just got my new little MIP robot that I'm trying to work out. It's a gesture-based robot, and you can run it from your phone and do all sorts of things and make it whiz around on the floor and... turn this way and that way and write some program for it. So I'll be interested to see their robots carrying around iPads.
Yeah, it is interesting because I have not seen that before. Mm-hmm. Then again, you know, get into the school and everything gets so tunnel vision, but, you know,
It's
good to get out there and look.
It is. So it's going to be a great time and lots of fun activities on as well on their website. And guess what? You know, Miami Device is on at such a perfect time. Because on the Saturday, there's a Maker Faire in Miami.
Wow.
Won't that be cool? We can go and see what the possibilities are. I'm going to go and see, just see, well, what are people making and, you know, what are some of the possibilities? Yeah, and take lots of photos and bring it back and show my kids here and say, look what they're making over there.
That sounds really neat.
Yeah, so that's the day after Miami Device. So lots of good stuff in Miami. I thought I'd bought some little, you know, those little flat cell batteries, like button batteries. I thought I'd ordered some of those online because they can be quite expensive. And the e-crafts I'm doing with the LEDs and things, you sew on a little thing that they slip into to run the whole lighting section. And those little batteries are, you know, I want to get them much cheaper than I can buy them for because otherwise it becomes, well, you can make this, but I haven't got a battery. You'll have to supply your own battery. Otherwise, you know,
right.
For 50 kids, your battery price is incredible. The little LED lights, I bought those online, you know, and I got like a pack of 200 for $9 something. 200 lights in the local J-Car electronics shop. It was like $1.25 for one little LED light.
Wow.
Yeah, so you can get some good stuff online, can't you? So I actually ordered some stuff from Spark Fun Electronics. They have all sorts of good bits and pieces for making all these circuits and crafts and things, e-crafts. Lots of fun.
So one of the things that you're learning is how to find all the resources and materials necessary to do all these robotics and different types of hands-on activities, huh?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Finding the resources and all that sort of thing is really great. I guess Gary Stager's website, Invent to Learn, it has a lot of these resources on there and places to buy things. He's got a really great site, probably the best. It is the best if you want to do all these makey things and whatever. Have you been to Miami before?
I have not been to Florida at all.
Right.
So I get to add it to my collection of states I've been to.
Right. You've only been to how many?
26 right now.
26. Do you count traveling across states, or do you have to be on the land?
I have to be on the land.
Right, okay.
On land now, yeah.
You might fly across a few states on the way, mightn't you?
You know what? I have not flown across a state that I have not landed in.
Oh, okay. And do you have to get out of the airport, or is it counted if you're still at the airport? Do you have to get off the tarmac, or is sitting in a plane on the tarmac counted as visiting that state?
I'm on the land. If I get out of the plane and I'm walking, I'm on the land.
I just remembered something else, Rodney, that I know you are so keen about, you've been so excited about, and that is at Miami Device, they have a run, an early morning run scheduled.
Yeah? Really?
And you're really excited about that, aren't you, Rodney?
I'm absolutely not excited about it.
You've got your treadmill going in your air-conditioned room so you can do some running because it's too hot in Arizona to run outside. I know you've been right into it. You're training yourself madly for this event.
Yes, you have, Jenny.
I am, yes. I have done 2 weeks of beach running, actually, to get myself up to speed, that you could call running and not walking. And now I've got to try and keep it going, and that's been a little bit difficult to keep it going when I got home. It's a bit harder running through the bush.
Really?
Yeah, it's up and down in hills and stones and all sorts of things.
I thought sand was harder to run in, though.
The beach where I was running in Queensland had beautiful hard sand because the tide was way out, so you're on the sandbanks. And so it was great for running on this year. Some years when I've been there, it must be to do with the moon, do you think? And the tide was right in, and you're up on all the soft sand where you sit, and that's really hard to run on. But the sand that's down when the tide's gone out on the big surf beaches is quite hard, so it's great.
Okay.
So that run's going to be great. Great, Rodney. Maybe we should form a team.
I'll cheer you on.
You'll cheer me on.
Go, Jenny. Go, Jenny.
If I could do it, you could do it, surely.
Yeah. Probably not.
You've still got 5 weeks to train, have you?
Five weeks to train. How long is the run?
You've probably got 6 weeks to train up for it. You could make it easily.
How long's the run?
Well, I haven't told me that. But it's only 45 minutes, so it couldn't be far, could it?
Well, it's going to be one morning you'll go through Biscayne Bay. And the second one you're going to go through Coral Gables, the city beautiful.
Is that where you run?
Yep.
Right. Oh, okay. Wow, sounds very well worthwhile going on to me.
Sounds as though that I would much rather walk it.
Oh, no, you won't see enough if you walk it. You'll miss the whole conference. You'll be still walking. Hey? Lunchtime, and you'll just be getting back at lunchtime, and you missed all the morning sessions.
Yeah, first day I have my session, so I better not.
Oh, well, anyway, so Miami Device, I think you can still register for it.
Yes, you can. We'll put that in the show notes, miamidevice.org.
Yep, and if people want to register, they'll probably have to be pretty quick at it because it's, I think it's a nice boutique size conference, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah,
it
so
is.
They don't want 1,000 people at it. So it's one where you get to talk to everybody, which is great. I love conferences. It's a bit like Slide to Learn. Nice size, and you see everybody, and it's like a nice little community, learning community, which is great. Yep. Alrighty, thank you for today. We finally got to get our podcast back on track, we think. See how we go. Thank you to all our listeners for listening to us. And we hopefully we'll see you next time in episode number 15.
And yes, in 15. Maybe we could do it in Miami. Yeah. No, we have to do it before. We have to do number 16 in Miami.
Okay. All right.
Okay?
All right. We'll make that a deal.
Yes, okay. We will.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Rodney, for today.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, lucky I have the holidays, so we've been able to work the time zones in.
Yeah, I'm not on holiday. But you know what? It's always great to talk to you.
Yeah, it's been great chatting, and we'll see everyone next time. Bye for now.
Bye.